stage, Sam, Adam, Ben, and Mr. Tom Scott.
Thank you for keeping the applause going through that surprisingly long walk there.
It's a very linear theater.
Yeah. It's one of the longest theaters we've ever seen.
All right, everyone pumped for their big podcast debut? It's really exciting.
We don't have a mic on the audience, so you're going to have to shout, and then we're going to have to repeat it. But hopefully
do we not have an audience mic?
I don't think we have an audience mic, so...
Okay, we will repeat your questions.
Or I'm going to go run to people. Which one do you prefer?
We'll repeat.
I think we can keep you up here.
All right.
Before we get started, I have an announcement. Sam doesn't know this, but... this is about to be the first time in the history of the Layover podcast that Sam does the intro perfectly on the first try.
This is not true.
It's gonna happen. Everybody watch
this
the
is
magic.
Not true.
Let's sit back and let the maestro do his work.
I think the imperfection is what makes it great. Okay. Hello and welcome back to the Layover podcast. We're out of the off season. How do you feel, Ben?
Now we've exposed ourselves. I feel awesome. Tom Scott is figuring out what's wrong with my microphone, and I feel great.
It seems that the problem is that it was off.
Does it work now?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, I'm here. Hello.
Tom Scott is a genius.
Oh, yeah. Tom Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm a first time here. Thank you very much.
I remember.
I mean, there's a few other people you need to introduce first.
Well, I was just going to say, I remember when we first talked, you said that you would agree to come on the season if you got to be on the Layover podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was your true, was like the thing that you were most looking forward to.
Yeah, 100%.
Of course.
Yeah.
We're the number two most popular jet lag
recap
podcast.
Yep.
Mr. Adam Chase is here.
Hello, it's me, Adam.
He's very dapper in a suit. Tom is too. You can't tell because it's an audio-only podcast. And I was going to do a whole bit about like, and there's other people here, but then everyone laughed, so it kind of spoiled that bit. But it was going to be really good. But also, we have like, I think like 170...
1,000 people here.
That's right. I forgot.
That was convincing.
I can't believe they let us do a show at Madison Square Garden.
I know. They said the Layover?
Yeah.
Okay.
They haven't even shown the episode.
We had to beg them to let us show the episode before we did the Layover.
So yes, this is going to be a very extra special episode of the Layover because we have a lot of people here who have just watched the premiere episode and can ask us questions highly relevant to the episode. Every single one of them has promised me they're asked questions highly relevant to the episode.
Oh, there's the answer to your question from before, Tom. You can hear the subway from inside the theater.
You can, yeah. The background noise there. For some reason, someone built a cinema, a place renowned for good sound quality, on top of a subway line. So
that's how we do it in New York City, baby! Yeah.
So, Tom.
Hi.
I didn't prepare questions. I'm not very prepared for this, as you might notice when you listen every week to the Layover podcast. But... how did coming on a show that you have watched since... I was reminiscing about this earlier today, and I remembered that, like, within hours of the very first episode of the very first season coming out, you were one of the first texts, and you were very nice. You said it was very good.
It was.
And so I assume you've kind of watched Jet Lag since the very beginning.
Yeah.
How...
it is very strange to end up on a show that you've watched like that.
Yeah, elaborate on that. Why is it so strange?
Because... you only get half the story when you're playing it. The first time I really knew what Ben and Adam had been up to was watching episode one. And there's bits in there where I was like, oh, that makes sense. I had no idea how close you got to failing Germany, which would have completely changed every single aspect of the game from then on.
Kind of annoying to figure out in retrospect how we probably could have nabbed it, but...
we couldn't, because we couldn't have got to...
You could have stayed on that train.
No.
You could have finished the challenge before us because Aachen has a pastry named after it.
Yeah, here's the thing that you don't remember, because I didn't mention it at the time, because like, oh, we're going to stop in Liège, it's not going to be a problem. I remember looking at the departure board that they have on the train and just seeing some red on there and just absentmindedly going... oh, that's the train to Aachen. I'm glad we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole line was closed for the day.
Yeah, but I mean, it would have been, it would not have made sense in context, but had we stayed on that high-speed train, we would have ended up in Aachen.
Yeah.
And we would have nabbed it for.
We'd have had to get off and get a bus or something like that. Like,
but it would never have made sense in context. No. At least that's what I'll tell myself in this. But copium. Yeah, like
we only got half the story. Yes. You've obviously seen it. I haven't. And the other thing is, like, when you first called and was like, "This is the kind of game design we're doing," I was like, "Oh, you are kind of coalescing my two favorite seasons here." Like, I really enjoyed Battle for America. And I really enjoyed the challenges and the travelogue of New Zealand. And this is basically a combination of the two. Like, you invited someone who's watched all those and gone, "Oh, I'd love to do those." It's like, "Thank you. Oh, yeah, I'll take this season. Thank you very much."
But I do think that it's interesting, and you have said this in interviews too, so I'm not revealing anything you haven't said before. But when we first pitched the game design to you, you were skeptical of it. In part, you were skeptical because originally we wanted to try to go to all of the countries, and then we scrapped that.
Yes.
But you were also skeptical of the general system of...
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to work when you first showed it to me. And you were like, "Yes, it'll work. Here's why." And I kind of, a couple of days later on our second call, I was like, "Yeah, I'm completely sold on this now." It wasn't intuitively one where I thought, "Oh, that's really simple. I don't think that's going to work." It absolutely worked.
I think
the amount of shenanigans in that episode.
Many shenanigans.
I was like, "They're obviously going to go to Vienna. We're not going to interfere with each other. This is going to be a quick first episode." No.
We were very convinced that they were going to Vienna.
Yeah.
And here's the messed up thing. There is, at Heathrow Airport, at least in the schedule that was, you know, working then, there was a 9:05 a.m. flight. I remember the exact time. A 9:05 a.m. flight to Vienna and a 9:05 flight to Zurich. The exact same departure time, literally like three gates apart from each other. So we were looking at the tracker, and the reason why we were so surprised was because, like, it's like a little bit of confirmation bias, but like a whole lot of, like, we were looking where their tracker was. It was like, gate, I don't remember the gate exactly, but like, "Oh, gate A51, sure looks like they're pretty close to gate A51. Sure looks like their plane pushed back at 9:05.
Did you
everything lined
that?
Up.
Did you notice that?
No.
No, okay. I wish we had.
No. And this is actually really funny. Interesting.
Would've
because
been a genius trick.
I didn't realize until we watched the footage, but when we saw you guys making a beeline for Germany, we were like, "Oh, they've definitely figured it out by now."
Mm-hmm. We were like, "That's why you didn't stop in France."
Nope.
Yeah.
Should we take some questions?
Sure. Who's got questions?
Questions.
All right, you were very quick.
All right. You know what? You are close enough that I'm going to put the mic to your face.
All right. First things first. Tom Scott, thank you for making some of my Mondays awesome.
Thank you. Don't make this weird.
Okay. I promise I won't. Were there any landmarks or restaurants that you passed by you wanted to visit, but it was like, "Damn, I'm in a game show right here, right now"?
All the time.
It's hard to answer that for this
season.
Thank
you, by the way.
I can't answer that fully without spoilers, but I will say that I dragged a pretty tired Ben to like multiple Michelin restaurants after we were in the rest period.
Okay, this gives us a chance to talk about the rest period, because obviously it doesn't appear on camera. Like, we turn the cameras off at 5:30, mm-hmm. and this is something I said to you all, like, of all the, like, reality competitions, travel competitions, everything like that. This is a really nice one to be on.
This season.
This season, I don't, well.
Well, okay, I know you'll frequently do like 14-hour days exhausting running.
Yeah.
These were 10-hour days, mostly on trains. And then at 5:30, the cameras turned off. Like, it's in the rules that there isn't any discussion during the off time. I got a nice hotel somewhere, went and had dinner, had some rest. It's great. Like, you don't get to do that on The Amazing Race.
No.
You don't get to do that on Race Across the World or Survivors. Like, yeah, I'm going to have a quiet night in for a bit and, you know, get my energy back.
I would propose that we break our own rule and we answer this question for prior seasons, for those of us who have been on prior seasons.
Do it.
Mm. Sure.
I will say that personally, I was in New Zealand. I was so bummed to be driving right past Rotorua. Like, Rotorua seemed pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's where they went on the Zorb and stuff.
Yeah, we Zorbed.
Yeah.
We Zorbed
the hell out of that place.
Yeah.
And pulling this back to the current season, I nearly met you there.
Oh, yeah. That's true. You were, like, there the day before.
Oh, right. That was weird. My mom was like, "Tom Scott is there."
Yeah,
and I was like, "How do you know that?"
Well, not only...
we We missed each other by about 3 kilometers. You never went into the center. I wasn't filming that day. If you'd have turned up in a slightly different place, slightly different time, there would have been a John
Green
moment.
Could have been a John Green situation. Yeah.
And also, weirdly, that day, and I think it was that day, included going to a location that you had filmed
at. Yeah, we almost died.
The brain.
Oh, yeah, when we ran that with the river.
If we were bigger fans of Tom Scott, we could have saved ourselves. And that's a lesson for all of you.
Because it was this stream with brain
eating. Kerosene Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah. The famous brain eating amoeba
creek. We probably would have been fine.
Yeah, statistically, you'd have been fine. Unless you, put your head underwater, splashed a lot, and, snorted the water.
I was doing that.
Ben does love to swallow water.
Oh, as previously established, I was just swallowing lake water.
Gets a neti pot and a hot spring and just...
Seriously, do you remember the New Zealand season when we went on the inflatable obstacle course in the water? Ben had to get out of the car as we were leaving to throw up all the water that he had swallowed. And I was like, Ben, why don't you close your mouth when you go into the water?
It doesn't do that.
Your mouth doesn't close? What
Not
does that mean?
All the way.
There were a bunch of restaurants in Japan that I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
So that's my answer to the question.
I wanted to see the Lord of the Rings stuff in New Zealand. We couldn't see it because it's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I wanted to see that real bad.
Yeah. All right. Another question.
Very quick. I would go for in the plaid shirt just there. If I'm going to... Yeah, we can do this.
Okay.
I defy your restrictions.
He's a dapper young man.
Okay. Why did you start in London?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And this was the subject of much discussion. And we considered many other starting places. Specifically, we almost started in Switzerland because it was right in the middle of everything. And there was an iteration of this game that was just... EU countries, which Switzerland is not, and so that would have been neutral territory. In that case, that might have made a lot of sense.
I think that the ultimate answer is that in a claiming game, I think that we have come to the conclusion that it's weird to start a claiming game in a claimable territory, because then the game starts with basically a rules exception, which is really weird. We both start the game in the same place at the same time, which we have a provision for if both teams are on the same plane and we touch down at the same time, but it's a rules exception. The game rules assume that teams will not enter countries at the exact same moment, but we would enter at the exact same moment if we were in a claimable area. And then we start with the rules exception, and then we probably also start with a challenge. I think we've also come to believe that if you have a video that's we traveled to all of the, as many countries in Europe as possible, if the first 20 minutes is us doing a challenge and not going anywhere, it's kind of well, this is a really weird way to start a video that I clicked on because I thought you were going to be traveling around and now you're just competing to see who can throw the most pick and mix into a waffle. It's we got to build up to the pick and mix and the waffle. Yeah. So that's pretty much the reason, yeah.
And it also just, I think, worked out well that there were a couple different good options out of London, and there wasn't one just really clear, this is the thing to do, because we wanted the different teams doing different things.
Yeah, this is one of, I think, the two bits of game design that I contributed here was you asked me where to start in London. And for a long time, we were locked in on London Farringdon Station.
Turns out it's ugly.
Yeah, it's ugly. It is the logical place to start if you are just playing this as a pure game, because you have connections to Eurostar North and a couple of airports further away north. You have London City Airport if you go east. You have Gatwick if you go south. You have Heathrow if you go west. And they're all roughly the same time. It is the central point. But like you say, it's ugly. And also, that meant that we, if we took Eurostar, could get a much, much earlier train, 2 hours earlier. Mm-hmm. And moving to Victoria kept the central thing, and also balanced every mode of travel, so flight and train were about even.
I will also say that these discussions, in retrospect, were really funny, because the whole time we were talking about possible opening moves, Tom and Sam were like, there's two opening moves that are good.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, there's one more, and we're not going to tell you what it is.
Mr. We're tasked with doing all the simulation and sharing our results with the other team.
Yeah.
Look,
we only discovered this the day before filming. Sounds like exactly what you would say.
We simulated nothing.
That's true.
You.
We discovered this the day before, and then we were like, it's going to be so fun if they don't know.
And to be fair, it was.
Look, this is going to be a hot take. I'm not convinced it was the best opening move.
It was the funniest opening
move. Yeah, no, it was the best for the show. It was absolutely the best.
And I can't have a full discussion about whether or not it was the best opening move without spoiling what happens.
We'll have that as a teaser for episode 2 of The Wire.
We'll analyze that fully. We'll argue about it more.
I can't fully argue.
All right, let's do another question.
I'm going to run out.
I was going to do it because I feel bad about our guest.
We've taken folks from the front.
I'm going to go real back.
You could hustle a little bit there, Sam. You are...
I'm looking at them.
You did run about 7 miles every night during the rest period. I'm just saying you could do some of that.
Examining which of them I think is most worthy.
He's crazy.
Between the mental and physical exhaustion of Schengen Shogun, how does it compare to, say, a first day out when you're doing hide and seek or tag or one of the other formats of games that you normally play?
Oh, this is much more pleasant.
Tom, can you translate?
I can swear at you, but we couldn't do that on the podcast. You know damn well what that question was, Sam.
This season was vastly more pleasant. Again, as Tom has alluded to, long rest periods. Adam and I were balling out every night. And I had to run a little bit, but ultimately not that much.
Because, the European winter is not even that bad.
No.
It's pretty mild.
Yeah, I did wonder why you were doing a Europe season in winter, but I think the better explanation is you couldn't really do a North America season.
It's way colder in some
places. No, I think in tag, first of all, these days were shorter, which was necessitated by the fact that it was winter in Europe. So you only really get 10 hours of daylight anyway. So we were forced to make it 10-hour days, but then that was sort of kind of nice for everybody. I think the other thing is in hide and seek, which you asked about specifically, I think that... it's certainly more... The two times we've played hide and seek were in Switzerland when it was really cold and rainy, and in Japan when it was the hottest September in the history of Japan.
Yeah, and it was 100 every day. I see so many comments like, what time of year was it? I would love to go to Japan then. It looks beautiful. I was like, no. No.
Yeah, the camera really doesn't do justice.
No, the camera doesn't do a good job of conveying heat. So yeah, I think especially, ironically, you would think that being the hider is the easiest job. And I think that if you're playing the home game, it's probably quite chill. But when you're recording, especially in Japan, when you're really, at least when I think all of us, except when you were at the airport, just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, look, you get to choose your hiding location.
I'm moving all around, getting the different shots, really trying to set up all kinds of different things to show people the area. And then all the time you just get sent running to go get a photo or whatever. So I think you get pretty exhausted. This wasn't so bad.
Yeah, this was great. I would I would happily do something like this again, whereas I think if it was 14-hour days and the stress that you'll have on the really big games, I was very happy with how this ended up.
Yeah. I think it's great to have, I kind of like the sprints of tag where we just do 3 days, 14 hours, and it's just the entire game, and it's your entire conscious existence is the game. Yeah. Those are nice, but then I almost don't like the middle ground. Personally, it's I either have it one extreme or the other extreme, and this is a nice other extreme where you have time to, I don't know, watch a little TV show at night, or in your case, drag bend to four.
I didn't drag him. I should have said that. We had an awesome time.
This season of The Layover, we're just going to be talking about various dishes that we were trying.
I think it's a testament to jet lag's reputation over the years is that you can call someone up and be do you want to spend 6 days on the run, tired and stressed? And people just go, yeah, right. That sounds fun. That's good.
All right.
Do you want to take someone?
I'm going to do a middle.
Oh, okay.
I just feel like we haven't done middle much.
All right. The middle.
I'm going to do middle and not that close to the aisle because everyone thinks that you're so close to the aisle. So you get, all right, I'm going to go the furthest from the aisle. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. So my question was, why not start payers off with a supply of euros?
Sorry, what was the question?
I think it was, why did we not use euros as a currency, right?
Why didn't I have cash, you mean, euros? For the bakery?
Oh, that was just
shut up.
Because, now, I'll tell you why, and this is local knowledge. Germany does not really run on credit or debit cards yet. They do, certainly since COVID, a lot more places take them. And by the way, you'll see me masked up a couple of times in this season because there were some crowded places.
Wait, there. I actually have a good answer to this.
Took a minute.
You're fine, about to look like an idiot.
Cut off my local explanation first.
Sorry, no, I just realized we started in London and they don't use euros, they use pounds.
That's yeah. True.
So I wasn't in a place where I would have had euros. Get yeah. Owned!
But also, you just expect in Europe to be able to pay everywhere with contactless.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think it's a spoiler to say well, we didn't have to get
that's the
cash
only time
out
all point. Season you needed.
In fairness, we didn't have euros either. And the one place where it can be tricky is the Netherlands. And I had like this sinking feeling. Like you'll notice here, I ask, do you take debit card?
Because like specifically debit.
Yeah, because that's the one thing. Like credit card, very especially outside of Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
Yeah,
very infrequent.
Albert Heijn, unless yeah. it is one, which is the chain of stores, unless it is one in a train or a mm-hmm. train station or an airport, generally they still only take Dutch local cards yeah. and cash.
So it's lucky that this yeah. this random flower dealer had debit card because
I
thought
lucky.
We were going to get screwed.
Is there any reason you're standing
yeah,
and hovering around?
I was going to get another question.
Next one's
for
going.
Those of you all listening right. at home, Sam has just oh been standing.
Okay, I'm going to go.
Time.
I'm going to middle on this side.
When you guys were looking for cake, you showed the Lidl, but I don't think anybody mentioned it. Was it just not open, or did you not like? To go in there.
It was closed. Yeah, it was closed. Sorry, maybe we should have like added in a thing. No, yeah, everything was closed. It was crazy. Everything was closed. Like, I thought we were done when yeah. that place didn't happen.
This is why we didn't go to Germany. We knew this. We totally knew this. We knew
that
Germany.
Is yeah. absolutely not true. And no. also the holidays only in Southwest Germany. It was not a holiday
this
in
this is Aachen. Why we didn't go to Southwest Germany.
Wait, I want to get a question. It looks like so much fun.
Okay, Ben, go get a question.
Okay.
Oh, no, I hate this now. I don't want to do this. Okay.
Have you ever thought about doing multiple guests in a season?
Ooh,
a
good
very
question.
Good
question. Have we thought about it? I thought about it.
We think. Yeah, we think about a lot of things.
I think about all kinds of things, and I'm not going to say any more.
Yeah. It may happen.
It may no, not. No, hold
well,
on,
now,
hold
now
on.
You,
just
now, you, now you imply that it will happen.
It
with
may
the
not.
Delivery.
Who knows?
I think it would be very fun to have multiple guests in a season. I think it requires a game design that really, one thing that we've learned in prior game designs is you don't want too many different sort of like points of view or too many different things happening at the same time.
Yeah, I remember when we went to Japan the first time.
Yeah. So it would require good game design that kind of helps solve for that. But it's certainly something we're interested in.
Adam, I think you should go pick someone.
I'm going to pick somebody. Whee!
Now I feel like we're neglecting
going
the front.
Here.
Hello. So question for Sam and Tom. With the waffle, was there a rule or a reason why you didn't rotate the waffle once you were getting it all in the same spot to put the empty spot, like where they were bouncing into? Or did you just not think of that?
This is...
I appreciate the really specific question there. So... the answer is we didn't think of it, but also there is so much pressure in the moment. And as someone who's watched like 12 seasons of jet lag before going on it, oh my God, the number of times I've gone, well, why didn't they just? And the reason is you just don't think of it. Like yeah. I said this earlier to you, that you watch and like, why are they not running all the time? Why are they not desperately checking the tracker every 5 minutes? And you just can't. It really is different on the other side of the screen. It is so much to cope with.
This is why we made a home game for all of you to play.
Yeah.
So that you would go play it and then you'd be like, this is like difficult to do and like look at your phone.
You guys
at the
don't
same
have to
time.
Film yourselves.
In our defense, is that's the point of the layover podcast to defend ourselves.
That's true.
And look, I'm open to the hard questions because we're great at defending ourselves.
Has anybody here played the
Let
home
me
game
defend myself.
Life? I'm just curious.
Defend yourself, and then Adam's going to do a thing.
She has it. Ooh.
Yeah.
to defend myself, thank you, Adam, all the shots you see at the end where they were all landing in the same spot, that was like a span of 30 seconds. Once we figured out the funnel system and once I figured out like the aim, it was actually...
Yeah, you just locked in at one point. Yeah. Like the first half of that montage is both of us just taking shots and mm-hmm. trying to get it.
But eventually figured out the technique.
Is Sam just going, I've got this now.
Yeah. And he just... Once you're locked in, you got to stay locked in.
Yeah.
But
there's
look,
a lot of
the rotating thing might have worked.
About locking in, I feel like.
We missed...
Also, I am aware now of, like, firstly, quite how stressed and, like, highly strung I sound, because I am.
Yeah.
Like, seeing that from the outside is weird. And also, that apparently my catchphrase for this season is, that's the game.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that.
I thought,
yeah,
it was cool when you said
no
that.
No idea where that came from.
Also... Another BTS detail. We had spectators while we were doing Waffle Pop.
Oh my God, yes.
They're like a collection of, like, and what's weird is, like, we were in front of a train station. Sure, these people have, like, places to go. But, but no, they were stopping to watch us.
And then after a few minutes, going away because no one is hitting the waffle.
We were not good enough. Yeah.
This isn't a spoiler because I won't reveal where we were or what the challenge was, but Ben and I were doing a challenge. We were very stressed out. It was a very stressful situation. Like, I was focusing very hard on something that I was doing. And a guy came up who, like, did not know who we were, did not recognize us, but was just really excited that we were from America. And he was just like, where are you guys from? And we were like, America. And he was like, yo! And then he was like, where? And we were like, New York. And he was like, New York City! And then he thought for a minute, and then he went, East Side! It was awesome.
New question?
New question.
Oh, Tom's at it.
All right, I'm going all the way to the back.
Hello. This is actually for you. Yeah, during the show, it looked like you were on the verge of saying a couple scandalous things at certain points. One about, like, other names for the lads. One time about alpha males. I don't know. Are you able to go into that here?
No. I'm going to go with a question right at the back here.
Hello. I know that when traveling to different continents, there's a lot of, like, you know, sleepiness, drowsiness. Did this have a certain effect on you?
Is there another word for...
interesting.
I don't know. Y'all were the ones that traveled. What do you think?
Interesting question.
You didn't... I don't know. You moved at least one time zone, Tom.
Yeah. Tom, how did you feel?
Did it have any effect on...
Honestly,
sleeping?
Well, actually, right now, Tom, you're in New York City.
Yeah.
You don't live in New York City.
I don't.
How are you feeling?
Kind of jet-lagged.
Oh! Wow, he's running. He's running through the crowd. He's high-fiving everybody in the crowd.
He's running through the crowd!
I wish that was...
Is that your phone? Whose phone is that? Someone's phone fell. You knocked that guy's phone out of his hand.
That's crazy.
We should pretend that's the end of the podcast.
Honestly, that sounds... How are we doing for time?
How are we on time?
Okay. Okay.
Here's what we're gonna pretend like that was the end. But we're gonna
editing magic. Manny is our audio editor.
Manny
will help us with magic.
All right. I don't know who has the best question.
I'm doing a question. I haven't done a question. You look really confident.
So it kind of seemed like you guys didn't know what the lock challenges were. So how did playtesting work with that when you guys didn't actually develop those?
Really good question.
Good question.
So, Amy, our colleague, as we mentioned, wrote all of those questions. Amy's here. Amy, where is...
No, Amy left.
Amy, what did you...
Oh, wait,
what
no,
did you
here.
Do?
She said she was leaving.
Hello, it's me, Amy. Shut up. We haven't the time. I wrote all of the challenges for this season. I wrote it, and I'll be honest with you, while I was annoyed with these three...
No, she was mad at us.
Yeah, she was mad at us because we switched it from EU to Schengen zone, and so then you had to write, like, what was, like, seven extras?
You want to go ahead and tell them when you switched it?
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
I would argue that it was... Thanksgiving.
In many ways, it was Thanksgiving.
And that is reflected in the challenges. So the actual question is about how did y'all play test without knowing what the challenges were?
I think so.
So I don't know that. I will say that, like, all of the challenges got sort of quasi-approved. I sent them sort of unbelievably redacted text describing what the challenges were that were just like, go to, I think the one for the Germany challenge was something like, go to a type of place that has something in common with a somewhat common type of thing and get that thing in an amount of time that I give you. And they had to figure out whether that was good.
And we had to be like, yeah, that's a good challenge. Thank you, Amy.
I remember you asked if I had any specific like phobias or things like that that would cause me to be unable to do a challenge. Like I don't drink alcohol, so like we had to make sure there was someone on the team who could. One of the rules of jet lag, one member of the team must be sober at all times. It's in the rules, Doc. So that was going to be me. But other than that, like I saw the darkness, like there's nothing in there I feel worried about. So I was just like, yeah, that seems fine.
There were others though where it was a little less redacted, Amy. Like there were several where it was like, I'm not gonna tell you what the background for this is, but like we would basically have most of what the challenge was and we would like adjust it and like stuff. But there were a good number where we just had to sort of be like, Amy, is this gonna be okay? And you'd be like, it's gonna be fine. You'd be like, all right.
But crucially, we didn't know which of those was for which country.
Right,
so it is true that like whenever we showed up at a country, we were like, we have no idea what this is possibly going to be.
But then we had to get all the envelopes filled without any of us seeing it. And Amy was on vacation.
And there are two people here who did the envelopes. One person who did it the first time when we were going to film. And then another person who did it the second time when we actually filmed. And those two people are very beautiful to us.
And they nailed
appreciate
it.
Them. And one of them is here.
It's our friend, Just. Yeah. And then also my mom. And she did a very good job. I don't think that she...
Everything was in the right envelope.
Messed up a single one of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, I think the explanation isn't in the episode, but the reason the Christmas rose wasn't there was not that it was a duff challenge. It's that the challenge got moved later because the filming date got moved from before December the 25th to like early January.
Yeah.
And there is no... I assume, Amy, that you just got a list of flowers from Jason and...
No, I looked up when the flowers would be in season that, and it said that...
Yep.
And I thought, man, it probably isn't, but I didn't want to get Jason to re-record it. I was mad at you guys.
Yeah. No deep conspiracy on that, by the way, but I just got ill. It's I think the first time that's happened where a guest or someone I wasn't particularly bad. It was fine, but obviously I wasn't going to be patient zero and infect every public transit thing we went on. And second, the eustachian tubes, I think they're called, the bits that you have to clear when you go up or down a plane, completely clogged. So the minute I got on a plane and went up, I'd have been in pain for 2 days. And I don't know about you, that doesn't sound like a great episode of jet lag to be on. So like about 48 hours before we were due to meet up.
We were in London.
Yeah, they were already here. I just sent a text message 48 hours like, got a bit of a sore throat here. You know, I think it's going to be fine, but you might want to start stacking up some alternate people, alternate plans. And then 36 hours, like in the middle of the night, having woken up feeling extremely bad, I just sent this 3 a.m. message. It was just like, nah, it can't happen. I'm sorry. And I assumed you were going to replace me. I sent over some suggestions for replacement.
Are you kidding me?
This would have been an outrageous idea.
We had a lovely trip to London in early December.
Yeah, and then we just went back home.
Yeah,
it's really good that happened before we started filming.
Right.
Yeah. Because
eventually, one of these seasons is going to happen, and like 2 days in, one of us is going to get horribly sick.
My prediction is that you're just going to break your knee,
or I'm going to break my knee.
Yeah.
And we'll just figure out what happens there. I don't know.
The consolation was like I felt terrible both physically and like. From doing that, but at least it wasn't a close thing. Like there was no way out of it. It wasn't I had a little tickle in my throat. I was down for a few days and wouldn't have worked. So that was the reason the Netherlands challenge happened the way it did.
And we're getting the signal that's it. But we're gonna edit it so that
I'm gonna do the outro.
But here's the thing. We've all done continuity here. We need to come off an enormous cheer from the crowd.
That's right.
That's true.
And if you think I'm not going to take the opportunity to high-five everyone in this aisle a second time, come on!
Oh, my God. He's got...
Oh,
Oh my God.
All right. Thank you for listening and being. Well, thank you to the people in front of me for being in this episode of the podcast. It's very exciting. It's much nicer than just staring at a Zoom screen of these guys, which is lovely too. But you know,
weird and mean. For you to
no,
say.
I said it was but lovely. Accurate. But we really appreciate all of y'all coming. We appreciate all the people listening to my voice for listening. And we're really excited for you to see the rest of the season. I think it's a very fun one. We visited a lot of cool places, a lot of places the jet lag has never been before. So there's a lot of drama, a lot of exciting challenges, a lot of, I don't know, Tom being very competitive.
Oh, yeah. I learned some things about myself.
So we will see you next time on the Layover Podcast.
Sam, have you ever seen Penn and Teller live?
Of course, yeah.
You know what they do at the end of every live show in Vegas?
No.
They bet. Do they?
Oh, I haven't seen them live, no.
Ah, well, you know how we're going to have the photo stuff outside and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Penn and Teller end every single live show in Vegas by getting up, running up through the crowd, and meeting them outside. And all I'm saying is, that high five was a really good experience, and I'd recommend it for all of us.
We can do that, however. Well, I know what you're saying, Tara. We can do that we can pretend to do that for the podcast and then come back here because we're going to do one big photo with everyone here.
But we could do the photo now and then we could run through the crowd at the end.
I think we should.
Tara says thumbs up.
All right, let's get the photo.
Okay.
Let's get the
photo. We're doing the photo. Now we're going to do the podcast.
All right.
Okay, we're going
to
run it.
We're going to end the podcast?
I have to say a thing to end the podcast. What should I say? I didn't prepare for this. Well, no, but we needed to do the thing that we're running out.
We got to run out of here. Give us an outro.
Yeah, it was Tom's idea. It was a great idea.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Layover Podcast. Hope you enjoy the rest of the season. Goodbye.
Go!